Tonight on Animal House Radio, making her Animal House Radio debut, is the very lovely and very talented Miss Tawny Katane. That's right, the hottie from the Whitesnake video, Here I Go Again, the movies Bachelor Party and Witchboard, and Hercules the TV series. And it all happens right here, right now, on Animal House Radio.
Stations are tuned in too.
5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1. We have ignition. Strap in.
You're about to listen to
The Animal House.
You're nothing but an animal.
Your mother's an animal.
Show your food, you're an animal.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
They're animals anyway, so let them move their souls.
I am not an animal.
You are an animal.
We are all animals, my lady.
I'm not an animal!
What do you care? You're an animal. You're an animal.
Yeah.
I'm an animal!
Yeah.
All aboard!
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
I feel the need. The need for speed.
The opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of Animal House Radio. Some of the material broadcast on Animal House Radio may not be suitable for listeners under the age of 18. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Kelsey Grammer.
Hi, this is Katie Segal.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott.
Hey, it's Rick Springfield.
Hey, this is Tommy Chung.
Hi, this is Carol Burdett.
All right, everybody, listen up. This is Dee Snider from Twisted Sisters, Frainsland, Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah, you know me. And you're listening to Animal House Radio.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and you're listening to the Animal House Radio Show. And if you're not listening to it, then leave the country. You're a communist. This is a good show right here. Get it up.
Joining us now is an iconic actress. She's phenomenal. She's done it all. She's seen it all. And we're honored to have her here tonight because she loves the troops. And the troops love her. Can't wait because I know she's going to rock the house.
Tippi Hedren?
No. Please welcome for the first time, making her Animal House Radio Show debut, Miss Tawny Katane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
What an introduction.
I pride myself on my introduction, so thank you.
We were just talking before you called. We were just talking about Bachelor Party. We were just talking about that movie.
Okay. What were you saying about Bachelor Party?
I said that we were just talking about movies that we loved, and Bachelor Party came up.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was a great movie.
It was really interesting. About a year and a half ago, there was a director, and it was his birthday, and I got a call from, I feel so ridiculous, I forgot his name.
That's okay.
The big actor, John Travolta's comeback movie. Who was the director?
Oh, the Pulp Fiction.
Quentin Tarantino.
So he called my agent to have me come up for this guy, for this director's Bachelor Party. To watch Bachelor Party in his home theater.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
And I sat there, and it's one of Quentin's favorite movies. And there were 30 guys in the room, and every single one of them, you know how like at Animal House or all these different movies, people scream back out
right.
at the theater.
All the lines, right.
That they know the words.
Yeah.
All the guys, every single one of them knew all the words. It was surreal to sit next to Quentin Tarantino at his house, and they watched it on 38 millimeter.
That's hysterical.
Oh, my God.
Milt will cut your pants off.
But was it, were they
it
all,
was so cool.
Were they all
Nothing
watching you, though?
That insane.
They must have been distracted by, they must have been staring at you and not even watching the movie.
They're going back and forth. Man. That's how they are.
You know, it was really funny because afterwards, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, you know, I've got to get home, and Marilyn Manson comes in. And right. so we're sitting there talking for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they go, come on, let's go to Leo's house. Right. I'm like, Leo, I've got to go home. And they're like, Leo DiCaprio. I'm like, what kind of evening is this? This is incredible.
We're just talking about him.
So, yeah.
It's funny because
when I think of Bachelor Party, I have other memories that just
amazing. You know what? It's funny. We were talking about Bachelor Party, and we were talking about Leo DiCaprio,
and you just poured both things.
Yeah, we were talking.
In the same sentence.
Yeah, we were
Bachelor Party and Leo DiCaprio.
Right.
We were talking about movies that, like, I could have. Did we say that somebody wants a remake Bachelor Party? Or
no,
somebody,
I said I think they should remake it.
See, yeah, some things I
Scarlett Johansson with one right now is similar to it.
I don't think. I don't think you're going to top that. But I, you know what? They should just leave certain things. They need to leave alone.
That's
certain
not
movies.
Was and I'm going to say I'm 20. Was that your first movie and Tom Hanks' first movie at the same time?
That was Tom's second. He had done
Splash,
the Mermaid movie.
Splash.
He had done Splash, and I that was my second movie. But my first film I did it was in France and the Philippines and Africa. It was a movie called Gwendolyn. Okay. And I came home, and the day that I flew home from Paris, I went straight to 20th Century Fox and screen tested with Jeff Conaway,
and a couple of actors,
and we're talking screen tests, not just reading with the director. And I got the part, and next year I show up on set, and there's Tom Hanks, who I didn't screen test with. So there are a lot of big actors after this part, and nobody got it except for him, and thank God.
You know, Tony, I have a question for you. What because this is since this is your first time, how did you start acting? When did it start for you? Was it something that you wanted to do, or you just happened to fall into?
You know, I think for me, it's like a thumbprint. Everybody's experience, as you well know, being in this business is so completely different. Getting to wherever you go, and for me, it started in my bubby's house. You know, getting all the cousins together and putting on plays, and always being the director and telling everybody what you were going to play and who you were going to be and how the scenes were going to go. And so, I think this was always something in my blood, but I didn't know what to call it, but it was something that I always did. And as I got older, people said, oh, you should start modeling. Maybe you should be an actress. And that's what happened.
Oh, wow.
Right place, right time, and always, I guess, practicing my entire life.
Well, from watching you on the screen, it looks like you were born to do it. And we're growing up in the 80s. If you didn't have a Tony Katane poster on your wall, then you were a communist. I don't care what you
said. And not only that, I've always thought you had the best smile I've ever seen on a lady. I swear to God.
Oh,
you have the definitely. Best smile.
Thank you. I got it from my mommy.
You see what? You know what? I did a little research on you. You should have known that your name was going to be in lights someday because your dad worked for a neon company.
Oh, that is so funny. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. You know, I don't know if I said that or not, but that's absolutely true. My grandfather started a company called California Neon, and they did all the Jack in the Box hair, everything for Food Maker, Jolly Ox, and so I was raised with all these with neon signs. And I don't know if I said that, but that's a good line. Can I steal that from my book?
Sure, absolutely.
It's yours. It's yours.
Yes, absolutely. As long as I get a free autographed copy.
Exactly, and I'll have your name in the back, and you'll be able to look at what page you're on.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's gonna be awesome.
But
I want to, you know, on behalf of us here at the radio station, and we hope we're glad you're feeling better. And on behalf of the troops, it's an honor to be talking to you because I've loved you for years and I've watched you over the years on WKRP and The Surreal Life. And I was always jealous that you got to be in a band with CeCe DeVille because Poison was one of my favorite groups.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I when someone brings up that show, I act like I don't know what they're talking about. That was me. That was an imposter. I have no. But that particular episode, I was the one who got to direct that, and I had so much fun doing that particular episode, and it was just wonderful. But thank you so much for having me back, and to all the, you know. Listen, I would do anything for the guys, for the men and women that are listening right now. Yeah. Anything. So I'm happy to be here, and thank you for having me back.
Oh, you're welcome. Consider yourself a friend of the show. Ed, you have something?
Yeah, Tony. Ed Ruffalo here.
Yes.
First thing I want to say is, I got to be honest, I've met in my life about four girls named Debbie. Every one of them, the first thing I've said to them is, Debbie, you're a hooker. So I've never had a long friendship with any girl named Debbie just for that, because they don't get it, but that's good enough. But here's something I picked up that I didn't really realize, and it struck me as odd. You were on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, and you didn't have a drug problem.
Right. Thank you. thank you. Finally, somebody. I'll give people. Yeah. Thank you so much for that.
No problem.
I will give people. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, it's so refreshing because I will get people who will come up to me and they'll say, listen, I just want to say thank you so much. I have 6 years. And I'm like, you have 6 years? What? What did I do? He said, well, I've been sober for 6 years. I saw the show and I went, whoa, hold on. Wait a second. I didn't have a drug problem. They're like, you didn't? I go, did you watch the show? The whole thing. They're like, well, no, maybe I saw an episode. I said, okay, well then. I have nothing to do with your 6 years, but congratulations. I'm very happy for you. Stay strong. But everybody assumes, because I was on that show, that there was a problem.
Yeah, right.
But there was always, you always had to have, you can't have every single cast member jonesing on the bathroom floor, because that's not fun.
Right.
You have one antagonist sitting there going, oh my God, what did I get myself into?
Yeah.
And that was the year, 2007 was the year that the writers went on strike.
Right.
So there was no work for anybody. And I had done, Dr. Drew and I go back to the early 80s because I used to do love lines with him.
Right.
A lot.
Right. That's right.
And so he called me and he personally called me and he said, you know, will you do a show? And I kept saying no. I kept thinking, you know, the writers were going to go back to work and they took forever, which, thank you. We have the Kardashians today because of that. I'm being facetious and the thank you.
Yeah.
And then so finally they just, it came back with an offer that I couldn't refuse. And so he said, yes.
Oh, well, that's, you know, you got to do what you got. You know what, Tony, I got to, as a comedian myself, I prefer live entertainment. I think, you know, reality TV was a good idea in concept, but it's gotten so way out of hand,
and they're
spoon feeding it to us in droves, and it's just getting ridiculous now, you know, and it's making people not want to come out anymore. I feel personally like to see not just a comedian, a singer, a dancer, a play, anything. People don't want to. They'd rather sit and watch Honey Boo Boo. Oh my God, what a train wreck! I just can't.
Yeah.
Well, that's cheaper to make those kind of shows. That's why they're doing them. You know.
I don't.
Well, you're right. And people, what they don't understand is they don't get that it, if they don't like the way someone's walked in the door to a restaurant.
Right.
They go back and they reshoot that
right.
15 times.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't know about you, but me and my friends kind of show up at the same time. Isn't it ironic that each housewife gets her own entrance into the restaurant?
Right.
I mean, are people going to start, God bless everyone, but are they going to start to realize that this really is, like you were talking about, all in the editing and really scripted?
Yeah. And they script the drama. They want drama. So they make drama, you know. Make people fight and argue and scream at each other.
I know. I don't know. I feel like we've almost kind of let in the devil. And are we ever going to really get rid of it?
I have a question for you.
I have a question,
Tony. This is Paul Vanier. Hercules. I loved when you were in Hercules. I used to love that show.
Ooh, now,
did you have to film your scenes in New Zealand or did they do it in studios, your scenes? Did you actually go to New Zealand? Did they shoot your scenes in New Zealand, or did you do them in studio?
I lived in New Zealand for about a year and a half that show.
Yeah, how'd you like it? You like New Zealand?
Oh, it's my goodness! Right? I recommend anyone going and visiting New Zealand. It is such a it's like stuck in the '70s.
Right.
It's just so
it's my era.
It's so wonderful. It's untouched. It's not. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And he killed me on the show. And then Warner Brothers got so much mail that they had to bring me back.
They put you back, right.
And he said, bring me back. And then Hercules had to go visit his wife and his children in the underworld.
Right.
I remember that, yeah.
So I thank the people for writing. It was writing at that time. It was before the internet. So I thank everybody who wrote to the studios because I got to go back and live in New Zealand again.
Right.
Tony, what was the name of your character in Hercules? Deianira?
Dianera.
You know what? It's sort of like Marianne and Ginger. If you have Dianera or Xena, I'll pick Dianera every time.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Tawny, this thank is you. Tim Eli. There's really nothing I care to ask. I just want you to hear my voice.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I am the heartbeat of...
And the
funny thing, Tawny, he's actually a midget. That's the funny part.
I am the heartbeat of America, and I've been a big fan of yours, and I loved everything I saw you in MTV. It was fantastic stuff. It really was.
Do you have a picture and resume?
Yes, I've been a liar all my life. Wait, that's not true.
And well, Tim is actually a midget, and his pickup line to women is he walks up to him and he says, "I am not happy." And then they say, "Yeah, well, which one are you?"
Yeah, but you know what's cool about midgets? We look like we're very well endowed because the legs are so short, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, Bob.
But no, I've been a big fan of yours ever since Bachelor Party, and the MTV videos were just, you know, wasn't that the coolest thing back in the day? You just, anywhere you can go, you put on MTV, and it was just, it was amazing. It just really was.
The 80s, I'll never top it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I could do movies, huge movies all day long, but to be in heavy rotation on MTV 24 hours a day.
You're so right.
You couldn't walk down the street. I mean, I would have, you know, guys up, you know, on 57th Street, you know, doing construction, yelling down, you know, going, "Hey, Tawny, we loved you." And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Well, I mean, it was crazy.
Well, you remember.
It was crazy,
exposure. The exposure. That's a TV exposure.
The exposure that it got. It was insane.
Well, MTV defined the generation.
We've never seen
it really
anything
did.
Like that before. Yeah. Sorry?
MTV defined that generation, too. It was wonderful.
And
it really did.
And TV, you're coming
really
into people's homes.
Exposure, like you said, it really did define.
Yeah. TV exposure is major because you're going into people's homes every day.
And it was a new thing, and then it just exploded, it set, you know, the technology, I mean, obviously wasn't as advanced, but, like, look what it did. I mean, you can't, we had Martha Quinn on a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up, I just was in Chicago at the Poison concert, and I was blown away. I'm always going to like that music. You know, everybody can make an argument for their favorite decade, but there was just something special about the 80s. I don't know what it was. It was just the timing,
And the birth of video.
The Aquanet.
The birth of video.
Oh, the Aquanet, you're right.
The Aquanet.
Spandex.
Aquanet and neon.
The thing? The what?
All the Aquanet and all the neon.
Neon, yeah.
Exactly. But I think also the thing, the timing for MTV was so brilliant too, because if we had that today, even though let's say it would be new and we never had anything like that today, people are so connected to their devices that I don't know if they would have the time to even look up.
No,
you may be right.
So thank God back then we didn't have any distractions. Our distraction was MTV.
Right.
So all those people that were looking at the internet, that are on their apps, that are looking at anything otherwise, those are the people, and we were the generation that those eyes were on MTV.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Tawny, it's Ed again. Yeah. I got a question. When are we going to get a tell-all book from you? Because honestly, I'm going to buy a dozen copies so I can read it more than once.
When everybody I want to write about dies.
well, just give me a list and we'll start knocking people off.
Well, he has to buy 25 because the first 24 are going to get stained.
Jeez. That's what the posters are for.
Jeez.
What do you guys think it should be called? Let me ask you that. What would be a good name for my book?
Bright and Tawny.
Bachelor's Tawny.
Yeah, I've got to think of this. I'll come up with
Here we go again.
Yeah, it's tough.
Here we go again. That's
well, you know, but then I'm taking, I have a whole nother life. I mean, only was I married to a rock star, I was married to a professional athlete.
Right. Yeah, Chuck Finley, yes.
You know, so there's a whole nother life. And
20 part one.
And
20 part one.
Right, exactly. Oh, segments. That's good. That's good. That helps me sell it to the publisher. I get twice as much.
That's right.
20 volume one, volume two.
Wait a minute. 20 contained from neon to Hollywood. Something like that. We got to tweak it a little bit.
Yeah. I've got kids now too. So, you know, at first, before my kids, I was always like, and the reason I never did Playboy, although I had been asked quite a few times, was because my dad. Right. I never wanted my dad. I just thought, oh, that is just not me. I didn't want someone coming up to my father and going, hey, really? Your daughter.
Yeah, it's awkward. Yeah, it'd be awkward.
Did your parents support you wanting to be an actress, or they wanted you to do something?
My parents wanted me to be whatever I wanted to be, as long as I was happy and I was a good person and I wasn't hurting others and being kind to myself.
Right.
Now, you know, and which is,
I wanted to ask, when people approach you nowadays, you're known for so many things. I mean, as a fan, you're very diverse. Do you get, the Whitesnake video was a phenomenal thing. It was a record-breaking video, and you were the standout, obviously. Forget about the music. The music was great. Don't get me wrong.
I forgot there was a car.
You know, Whitesnake was a great band. But do you get mad when some people only, do you get mad that sometimes they pigeonhole you and say, you know what, well, hey, wait a minute, I've done more than this.
You know, that is such a good question. You would have gotten a different answer from me had you asked me that maybe even five years ago.
Right.
I think I was that person about 5 years ago where I was like, wait a second, I'm an actress. I had been asked to do rock videos by other bands my entire career. And I said, no. And the only reason I said yes to David was because I was dating him and I was married to him.
Right.
So I had a whole career. I had done so many movies and so much television, and all of a sudden now I'm known as that girl on those jaguars.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I started thinking about it and I thought, well, wait a second. That's okay. Embrace it. Yeah. Be who you are.
Yeah.
That was what people say is an iconic moment. Mm-hmm. Embrace it, and if you can use it to your benefit to help others, then why not? Then be that girl.
Plus, you're in.
So
plus
I'm
you're,
okay yeah. with it now. Yeah.
Plus, you're in show business. It's good to be good, known for anything.
Well, it became an iconic video.
Of course, course it did.
It's like the people that are listening right now. Tomorrow night, I get to do a fundraiser for the people that come home, for our vets that come home, become police officers, and firemen, and first responders, and EMTs, and all of those wonderful people who serve us so that we can live our daily lives put their lives in danger for us.
Right,
that's awesome.
And if I wasn't that girl on... You know, it separates me from other actresses that have done a bunch of movies like me.
Right.
I'm that girl that Ted Nugent wants there.
Right.
You know, I'm that girl that the Rockers go, yes, you're our ambassador. Join us.
Right.
And so I embrace that and go, okay, yes, that's me. And yes, I can do good with this. So I'm grateful for that. But like I said, 5 years ago, I would have been kicking and screaming and going, I'm an actress.
Right. No, I understand. You know, because sometimes, you know, people, they get these roles and it seems like, you know, even though it was like
Fonzie.
Yeah, Henry Winkler. He's always going to be known as the Fonz. But you know what? He's built a career as directing, producing.
Right.
And he's been in a lot of great movies. But sometimes they get, I don't know if it's... stereotyped or
Hollywood likes to pigeonhole you. They like to pigeonhole you. That's what they do.
You know, and like
right,
I said,
exactly.
Yeah.
But I've seen people like who are like that. I've seen them, and I think what kind of woke me up is I saw somebody, I'm not gonna call him out.
Right.
But he was somebody like that and he got upset at a fan because of that.
Right.
And I went, ooh, I am so glad that I'm bearing witness to this because it really turned things around in my head.
Right.
Because it's not that person's fault if they know you from something that you were uber famous for.
Right.
You know, and to be mad at them for pigeonholing you.
Right.
I mean, what does that say about that person? So I really learned a lesson, not just to, like you said, to embrace it. It was the exposure, like we talked about from MTV. Right. How was I going to escape that? Am I going to get mad at someone for that's what they know?
You know what? I got to ask you. I do a lot of, you know, when I have some downtime, I'll go to a lot of the autograph conventions and the, you know, with the, like, and chillers. I see a lot of, yeah, like the chiller convention that they do here in New Jersey. And that's actually where I met you a few years ago. And you get better looking by the minute. That's why I can't wait for tomorrow. And you know why? And
that's my book.
No, you know what? Yes.
Thank you.
You see a lot of these people and some of them have hit the wall and you've gotten better with age and you go there and when you see the ads on the website of who's going to be there, they show you these pictures of them when they were like 30 years ago and you walk in and you get excited because these are people that you saw on TV and you grew up with and you walk in there and it's like, whoa, reality sets in. But I mean, you walked in, you and Kelly LeBrock look like you were stuck in a time warp and you just got out. I mean, you were flawless.
Thank you.
But the problem is, like you were saying, with the guy got mad. Some of these people are sweet and they're very nice. A couple of other people, like I'm here because I'm a fan of yours, and you're gonna get like irate with me or like Lou Ferrigno. I love Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, but we're not gonna call anybody out.
I'm a Sicilian from Jersey. I say what's on my mind.
Good for you.
I walked up to him and I said, "Mr. Ferrigno, I'm a big fan of yours." He turned to me and goes, "Yeah." And he pointed to stuff and he started pricing out all his stuff on the table. Like, not even thank you.
You're lucky you didn't turn green. You're lucky you didn't turn green.
And I don't know.
I mean, just think how miserable. I mean, I don't know him, so I can't say that. But I mean, what is he living with? I mean, that's really. And that's kind of where when I saw this happen, I thought, oh my gosh, I know that I've never lashed out at anybody, but what is that doing to me on the inside?
Yeah, I think, Tony, I think Carlo gave you the title. There you go, Tony, better every minute.
I can't wait for tomorrow.
There you go. That's even good. That's good too.
There you go.
But, I really honestly believe that the saying that beauty comes from the inside is absolutely the truth. I think the reason people get better looking as they get older is because you trade wisdom for your looks. And I think wisdom is so much better looking than physicality.
Right.
I mean, yes, there is something to be said about elasticity and great bone structure and so on and so forth, but to have a peace, an inner peace about who you are. And there's a difference between, I don't know if I can cuss or not, but
you can say anyone
about not giving a shit about what people think and just not giving a shit about what people think.
Right.
They're two totally different things. And I think once you get to that place, you just become your authentic, beautiful self. And and that's really, it may sound really kind of corny and dumb.
No, it's true, though.
But
you're right.
It is true. Because before that, I think when I was 27, 28, when I was probably my most attractiveness, my most attractive ages, I was probably my ugliest because I was fighting myself constantly.
You haven't reached your most attractive stage, and it's still yet to come. You're still blossoming.
You know, I feel everybody's soul comes through. Everybody's soul shines through.
You're right.
Well, listen, my philosophy is this. If you're a celebrity and you don't want to be bothered, don't go to these autograph conventions. If you got to excuse the expression. No. Excuse the expression. If you got to stick up your ass, stay home. If it's just a money grab, I understand that. But you know what? There's some people that actually are genuinely want to see their fans and they embrace their fans.
Plus, if you have a stick up your ass, you have to stand up.
Wait,
you can't sit down.
I have really fraternized with a lot of people when I do these things. I've got the San Diego Comic Con coming up at the end of July, which I'm so excited about. Mm-hmm. I might do a little bit more fraternizing there. But do people really get, do they get upset?
No, they just seem like they don't want to be there. And I'm like, well, what are you doing here?
Well,
like,
they don't.
Yeah,
exactly. It's that easy.
Stay home.
But you know what it is?
If you don't want people talking to you, don't be a public figure.
No, the problem is that when they do the ones in New Jersey, it's an easy 20, 30 grand cash over a weekend because that's how many people come out to these things.
Right.
And okay, right. Listen, I'm not going to begrudge nobody from earning money. That's fine. But you know what? You know, and I'm not going to be smug about this. We're the ones that watched you and made you.
Right.
You know, I don't want to, I don't even want to pull that card out, but I was so upset because watching The Incredible Hulk as a kid was a big deal for me. And to me, and,
sure.
and plus I used to work out a lot. So him and Arnold were sort of my influences. Sure. And it was like a kid who just lost his dog or something.
That is so sad.
But, you know, and I got over it. But
yeah.
Tony, it's not sad. He didn't have a dog. Don't listen to him.
Yeah.
we found him a new weightlifter. It's
yeah.
He should know.
Yeah, he likes Lee Haney now.
That's what
you
heard in your voice.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, listen, this is Tim once again. I would just I want you to know there's a lot of wisdom behind this voice of mine. And
that means he's old.
I would personally like to have you as my guest at the Who concert next month in Atlantic City. I can fly you out here, and I hope you would consider doing this.
Really?
Yes.
You have to put him. You have to pick him up though, because he won't see the band otherwise.
I've got the handsomest wisdom you've ever seen.
Yeah. And he's got a beautiful set of drapes.
Yes, beautiful insides I have. But yes, I would love to fly you out here as my guest to attend the Who concert with me next month. So just consider it.
And, is that where my ticket's going?
No. I will consider that.
Tim would be the one standing on the chair.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm really not a midget. It's funny, but I'm really not. By the way.
He'll be standing on a chair with the pink carnation.
And, you may have to lift him up.
Certainly, when I was 22, I would briefly love you
even if you were.
Oh, you are, you know, you are very kind.
Only half as much, though, right?
And if you, by all means, I would love you to sit on the hood of my Chevy Cruze.
Tell the truth.
You scared me there for a second.
Tell me the truth. You almost said face, didn't you?
No!
No,
Tony, you are very lovely.
No, we're respectful here. We're only playing.
So, but please consider my offer. I'll fly you out here.
There you go.
Yeah.
Front row seats.
Yes.
Does she get to meet the band?
We'll get to meet the band.
First class, right? You're not flying our couch, are you?
No.
Okay. I'm going to sit in front of the band and not on the side.
No.
Just beside stage. I'd be on the stage. Gotta be on stage.
No, it'll be good.
Oh my God. I don't know when the last time I actually sat in front of a band was instead of sitting on a Marshall stack.
Exactly. Well, you're right.
Yeah, it's been about time. So considered. But Who happens to be my band? They're fantastic.
Yeah, we'll bring a Jaguar into the lobby in Atlantic City and then you could just do like somersaults over it.
So no incognito for me. Done.
Yeah, really. Exactly. It should be harassed for the whole night.
Future broadcasts, we're hoping to have Roger Daltrey on the air with us. We're certainly hoping.
No, are you seriously going to see the Who?
Yes, yeah,
Tim is the biggest Who fan.
He's the biggest Who fan around.
In New Jersey, at least.
When are they coming? When are they going to be?
Saturday, the 22nd of July.
Oh, wow. Atlantic I'm going to be down City, there, actually.
Atlantic City, New Jersey.
I'm going to be
down there. Oh, my gosh. It's right during the San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, Tim.
I understand.
You were this close.
I think.
Yeah.
Tell them to switch their date.
Well, would you like to go on a second date? We'll pay for it.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, let me get on that now.
It's a standing
up. No, I meant so, the Who. The Who needs to change their date.
Yeah, right. So call up Roger Daltrey. Yeah, that's not going
to
work.
Tell Roger to get on that.
Roger
tell
needs to do something. Tony's the star. Roger needs to move stuff around.
Do like Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School. No, this class at 10:30. Tell him to make it 1 o'clock.
Yeah. I can't. I got a massage at 11.
I have a funny story about him.
Oh, please
he,
tell.
He ran a danger. He walked up to the Motley Crue. The guys were sitting around the pool at the Sunset Marquee, and he walked up to them and he went, "Well, isn't this a Motley Crue?" only the way that Ronnie could say that.
Right.
Ronnie was the best. He was a sweetheart. I loved Ronnie. He was a great guy.
Tony, this is
anybody else. Yeah. They would have just rolled their eyes out. But with him saying it, it was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, great delivery.
Yep. Tony, this is Dave. Carlo has like a bunch of titles running for you, you know, for the book. I just want a chapter name for you. I got one ready to go.
Okay.
80s icon.
Okay.
80s icon.
The 80s icon. You know why? Because not only were you amazing in the music videos, but you were in two iconic movies during the 80s where I grew up as a teen, and, you know, Witchboard. Which every girl and every guy that wanted to be with every girl watched, and every guy watched Bachelor Party, and every girl that wanted to hang out with all the guys watched that.
Right.
And my other question is, Are you would you be more offended about a remake of the Bachelor Party movie, or are you more offended that they did a part two?
You mean of Witchboard?
Oh, no, no. Witchboard, well, we knew where that was going. They did that in the 80s with every horror movie. I'm just saying Bachelor Party, being a remake.
Would I be offended if they redid it without me?
I would be.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be, I would, you know what I would like, I think would be, I think they should do it, but they should give Tom and I, like, we should be the grandparents, or the parents.
Yeah, that'd be great, the parents.
I think the two of you should be getting remarried, and they have a whole nother bachelor party.
No, no, now his son, Tom Hanks.
Well, here you
son.
Go, it could be called Redundant.
Wait a minute, I just had a brainstorm for the name of the book.
Go ahead.
Debbie, okay. You're a hooker.
Well, another good chapter title,
you know,
would be Tim and the Who.
That could be the chapter for Bachelor Party. I like that.
There you go.
We're thinking. I love this.
I have a question. I have a question for you, Tony. Yes. This is Paul again. Yes. How'd you get the name 20? Who gave you the name 20?
Paul.
I gave it to myself when I was 12 years old.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
My name is Julie.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Julie E.
Julie Katane. Yeah. And my parents, we lived in Huntington Beach. Mm-hmm. I was a sister chick. And my parents got divorced, and we had to move back to San Diego, where I was born. And we moved into a little city called El Cajon, and it's way away from the ocean.
Yes.
And we went on welfare, and we were in food stamps, and I was 12, so I didn't really know how to cope. I mean, I was coping, but I really didn't know how to put it into intellectual words to understand my situation. Right. All I knew is it was different and it was difficult.
Right.
So I'm on my way to school the very first day, and I'm walking in the field, and there's two boys ahead of me, and one calls to the other one and goes, "Hey, Tawny." And I went, "Oh my God, that's it?
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be Tawny. I'm going to change who I am, where I've been, what I've done," and I go to school. And the teacher says, "Who are you?" And I said, "My name's Tawny Katane."
Ah,
and she said, "Kitty."
I love it.
Good for you.
That name is so 80s. It just fits. You know, it's just
it's a great name.
So hear me out. So I've done bachelor party. I have worked my tail off. I'm in my late 20s, and I'm with ICM. I'm having a meeting with them. And one of the women, there were five Asians in the room, and one of the women agents says to me, Tawny Katane, do you think it's too late to change it? And the other agents went, why?
Yeah, why would you change it?
Because she sounds like a stripper from San Francisco.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
No, I think it's a great name because it made you stand out.
Said that, I've always had a little like, oh my God, do I sound like a stripper?
No.
Do I sound like a stripper?
No.
I'm very, very grateful to my family that nobody in my family calls me Tawny.
Right.
They all call me Julie.
Of course.
They don't let me be Tawny.
Right.
I mean, but when they introduce me to their friends get really confused.
Oh, she has a sister.
Wait a minute. I got it. Julie, you ready?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
From Hollywood to Motherhood.
Chapter 17.
Yeah, that's a chapter. Yeah.
I like that. Okay. I've tried.
Maybe the forward.
From Julie to 20.
Yeah, right.
Well, you keep
Julie to Tawny.
Keep in touch with Carlo. That offer for coming to Jersey stands. So you keep in touch with Carlo. By the way, I could also, if you haven't, I'm sure you must have met Eric Clapton and Paul McCartney already, but if not, I can introduce you to them in September when they're playing Madison Square Garden.
Tony, you have to say that Tim is definitely a persistent little midget fucker.
Why don't you fly to California?
Oh, I will be.
There you go. Yeah, that's an alternative.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too stalkerish.
Tony, out of all the projects that you've done on your resume, which one is your favorite and what are you most proud of that you did?
Boy, I really am very proud of all the Hercules.
Yeah, I love the Hercules.
Because it was just such a major production, mm-hmm. and all the special effects that we had to do. And, you know, it was because of that show that all those huge movies went down and started filming in New Zealand.
Right, exactly. That became new Hollywood.
What movies are those? Lord of the Rings.
Right, right.
All those.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings. All of that was because of everything that we came across in Hercules. So to be able to experience and live that and the costumes. And, you know, Kevin Sorbo is not bad to look at either.
He's not, but his voice is so hot.
Yeah, his voice is lacking.
Well, you know what I think it was? The Hercules, made people take you serious a little more and legitimized you more, that you're not just a girl that just rolled around on a hood of a Jaguar. And I think that...
Right.
You know, and I think that...
It gave you a new audience. It gave you a whole new young audience.
Yeah.
She had depth to her. She wasn't just there for the sake of having a pretty girl there. I really liked Dianera, and you know, and hoped to become her one day. You know, to really like myself, and she just was such a great girl. But I also loved playing Mona Loveland on WKRP.
I love that character.
Yeah.
Never play poker with this girl, because
she was a character, boy. That was so much fun. And then I remember one time Burt Reynolds, because Lonnie Anderson came back to do a show, and so Burt came back and he directed us, and then he couldn't remember our names. And the directors always you guys have been on the set of, like, when you do with the three camera, half-hour comedy live, right?
Yeah.
So they always have the director's podium that it's on wheels and it moves from stage to stage, right?
Yeah.
So I walked up to his podium, and he had his script there, and he had all the names of all our characters' names, and he had descriptions next to it so he could remember who was who.
Oh, wow.
And next to my name, he wrote sexy.
Ah, nice. That's a no-brainer, though.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Burt Reynolds, that's so sweet. Don't let Lonnie see that. She'll kill me.
Yeah, right?
Apparently she got a peek.
She'll smack the toupee right off of him, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you. She was an interesting, one of the most interesting people I've ever worked with.
Tawny, I got to ask you a question. Would love to, I could sit on the phone with her all night. Can we get a part two with you in a couple of months or so? Interview?
Absolutely.
Because
you mean a sequel?
A sequel, yes. Yeah. I would love
part
to.
Part two of the book.
Yeah.
I could bring you up to the studio.
You just don't give up, do you?
Yeah,
you're a persistent little bugger.
Yeah, you're like herpes. Yeah. You don't give. Your gift that keeps on giving, man. Yeah, man, I tell you.
No, Bert's got a herpes.
Tawny, thanks a lot for doing this for us. And consider yourself
you
a friend of the show.
So
you're the
best. Welcome, and you guys were so much fun. I really, really had a ball with you guys. And you're right. We could go on and on. Your questions
you want.
Really made me think. And a lot of times I do interviews and they're just like, you get the same old answer over and over. But you guys were so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Anytime you need me, you just give me a call.
You want to promote something or anything? Anytime you just want to come on.
Absolutely. Yes.
You want to come to Jersey, Tim will fly you out.
If you actually get to the Northeast, let us know.
If Roger can't change the date, maybe, you know,
right.
We'll think about that. But remind people to follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely, guys. Well, listen up. Check out Tawny Katane on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. She does it all. You got to love her. Like I said, make sure you keep following her. She's a friend of the show now. She's like family. So if you disrespect her, we're going to come and get you.
And she has the best smile in showbiz.
That's it.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Thank you. Tawny Katane, everybody. Yeah.
Thanks, Tawny.
Tawny, thank you. We love you.